Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of the day it is. Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. I hope you are having a wonderful day so far. Now, today I'm talking with Lindsay Roberts, and Lindsay is an accredited life coach and founder of Gold Digger Coaching and the Anti-Hustle Club. And I love those names, Lindsay. She helps people live a life that they love without feeling overwhelmed and on the way to burnout. Isn't that just what we all need for sure? So welcome, Lindsay. Hello, how are you?
I'm really good, Caro. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Lovely to have you here. So everybody that I tend to have on my podcast are all self-employed in some capacity, whether they've been at it for a short while or a long while. But I would love to hear your own journey to this point and for our listeners to hear what inspired you to become a life coach, if you'd be happy to share that with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I became a life coach. So started training to be a life coach 3 years ago, just around the time of the start of the pandemic, which is great timing. But I decided that I wanted to be a life coach the year before. So I'll start from the beginning. We'll go back. So I worked before being a life coach. I worked in corporate for 12 years. I was in brand and marketing. I was in financial services. It was amazing. I loved it. And then I didn't. And it became too much, and I ignored all the warning signs that I wasn't really coping with the stress well, and I was kind of teetering on the edge of burnout, but I didn't really know what that was. And I ignored all the warning signs for like 18 months, and then I fell off a cliff.
Could I just ask, what are those warning signs that you ignored so other people might recognize them if they also might be going through something which might be warning signs in sort of hindsight, but they're going through something now? So what were your warning signs, Lindsay?
Yeah, so for me, it was I was feeling very stressed all of the time. So I never really had like, obviously, our body works well with stress, like we're designed to be able to manage some level of stress, but it was at the stage there where there was never any lull period. So I was always stressed all of the time. I was feeling really overwhelmed. I would always say to myself, like, oh, it's okay, it's really busy, but it will calm down after this next project and this next project. And then the projects just kept on coming. I would put myself through I was doing a lot of overtime. I was kind of taking the laptop home just in case an email came through. Like, it's all these little things that just started to happen, and I just had no boundaries around work. I started having panic attacks probably 6 months before I had my breakdown, and I started getting anxious. I didn't really know what that was. So my chest was feeling really tight. I was feeling really scared to go out. I was just feeling really nervous about things all the time. I'm not a nervous person. So it's kind of all this kind of build up. And I was just like, it's okay. Like, I'll just start going to yoga and this will help it. And it really wasn't helping, but I was still very much in denial that anything was really wrong. And then I remember having a panic attack when I was working at a conference in Berlin. And I was very distant from my family. Like, there was just so many things going on. And looking back, I'm like, why did you not see that there was so much happening that I was just kind of oblivious to? And then it all kind of came to a head in May 2019. April 2019, and I had a breakdown. So I went into work one day, had a massive presentation, delivered that presentation, then just collapsed in a heap, in tears. And I just said to my manager, that I don't feel very well, I need to go home. And then from there, I was working with a therapist at the time, so I spoke to her, went to the doctors, and I was diagnosed with severe depression and anxiety, which is not a great combination, because when you're dealing with the depression, that's fine, but then when you're not depressed, you're feeling anxious, so like you're in between a rock and a hard place. So it was really difficult for me. I took 3 months off work. I have to say, like, the company that I worked for were absolutely amazing in supporting me in my recovery. I had 3 months off work. They were super supportive. So I just kind of want to get that in there and just say that, because a lot of companies aren't supportive, and a lot of companies, it is very difficult to talk about mental health in the workplace. I did feel supported there, but had those 3 months off and started working with a psychologist, and we started talking about values, and I'd never really thought about my values before, but we started doing a lot of work around what my values looked like and what I valued in life. And then it made me realize that I probably didn't value the work that I was doing anymore in the corporate role. And she said to me, she's like, have you ever thought about becoming a life coach? I was like, what's a life coach? Like, what the hell is that? Like, I don't know what that is. Just this something that, like, all these American people, like, you know, I've got a life coach. It's great. Like, I'd never really heard of it. And I went and did some research and then decided that I was going to retrain to be a life coach. So that was kind of like where the idea came from. It wasn't something that I'd had in my mind for years to then leave the corporate world. I always thought I was going to be in corporate. That was what success looked like for me, or that's what I thought it should look like.
What were the aspects around being a life coach that drew you to that particular niche, that you felt that you were a good match? What were the values that drew you towards, you know, being a life coach?
So I think it's definitely around connection, so human connection, and being able to help people are some of my kind of my main values, some of my core values. And I've always been a bit of a people pleaser, trying to like help people, and like if people are struggling, like I want to see everybody thrive and do well. And I've always wanted that, because that's how I was brought up, to believe that everybody should be able to have the opportunities to be able to be whatever they want to be. But I know that a lot of people don't have that privilege, or don't have that kind of upbringing, that background. So I wanted to be able to help other people. But I felt that life coaching was a really great way for me to be able to help people, but have the boundaries in place, so it's not me. If I was like a therapist, I would be giving advice and telling people what to do. But as a coach, it's very much about me asking the right questions to help people unlock what it is that I know they've got in them anyway. So I think they were the main things that kind of stood out for me, just around being able to help people, around that connection, and just working with people. I think a lot more was really, really important for me. And I got into self-development and personal development probably 2 or 3 years prior to my breakdown. So I was very much like in the mindset of reading all the self-development books and reading all the stuff to like improve myself. And I was like, hang on a minute, I can help people do this for a job. Like, okay, I'm sold. So yeah, that was the reason.
So you can really see how much, what a difference a life coach can make. And once you help people to focus on what it is that they're wanting to achieve, or things that might be holding them back. And how do you help your clients identify and overcome their own self-limiting beliefs? Because we often, you know, anybody has beliefs that we've got from childhood, you know, that we grow up with believing that something is so, and those can often limit our growth. So how do you help people to recognize things that might be holding them back? And, you know, I know in coaching terms, they're called self-limiting beliefs, but just basically things that are our blueprint from, you know, when we're very little. How do you help people move past those?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting one. It's not something that can just be done like in one session at like the flick of a switch, because ultimately we are trying to change your blueprint. Like, you've grown up with these beliefs, and you might, until you come to a coaching session and you have the time and the space to be able to think in a way that you've not really thought before, you might not even be aware of them. So it's just kind of, it's so ingrained within you. And it's like, well, this is just how it is. And then it's just me asking the questions, well, does it have to be that way? Where is the evidence? That is something that I ask my clients a lot, is like asking for evidence of where, what that belief is telling them. So for example, like, I can't get any clients, you know, I'm rubbish at sales. Like, well, where is the evidence to show that you're rubbish at sales? You will have made sales in the past for you to be able to have a business. So it's about looking for the evidence, and really trying to kind of override what it is that your brain's telling you and that belief. But it does take a lot of work, and it does take work inside the coaching session and outside, just to kind of reiterate, and get into the mindset of being able to change that belief. But it is, it's a long project. Like, you can't just come to a session and be like, I've got my magic wand and I'm changing people's beliefs and everything. But it is about asking for the evidence would be the main thing, for sure.
So you're helping people really to reprogram how they might be thinking or what actions they're taking, and you're sort of being their cheerleader and guide on the side. Would that be sort of a way that you might be described?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, I think for like decades, centuries, we've been given a blueprint of what success looks like for people, and we've been brought up to believe that, like, for, especially for like my generation around, you know, you go to school, you get your A-levels, you go to university, then you go and get a career, you work your way up the corporate ladder, you get married, you have children, you retire at 60. Like, there's all these kind of expectations. And I think what I love about coaching is that it's an opportunity to kind of rip up the rule book and for you to be able to feel empowered to set your own rules for life, and to give you that freedom to be able to think and say, actually, this isn't what success looks like for me. So why am I chasing somebody else's dream? But what do I actually want my dream to be? Right, okay, this is it. How can we work back from that dream of 5 years? How can we work back and say, right, if I want to be there in 5 years, what do I need to do in the next 6 months to be able to get there? So it's very much me being a cheerleader and on the sidelines, but it's also me making sure that you are being held accountable to your actions, because otherwise we've just had a really good conversation for an hour and I've like G'd you up and got you super excited, but you've not got any actions that you can go away and take. So it's definitely action focused.
And I think you have to be quite brave to want to step into that whole arena of, you know, recognizing your limiting beliefs, things that have been holding you back, and thinking, I'm going to have the courage to try and make some changes. And I know it's not going to be easy, and I'm, you know, it might be two steps forward, one step back. But the fact that you're taking that action and investing in yourself to have a coach to hold your hand and, as you said, hold them accountable, you know, encourage them, guide them, be firm with them when they need that, you know, break down the big goal to small steps. I think that's such a great thing to have somebody, and to know that there is someone on your team that you can just dip into, whether it's, you know, weekly, fortnightly, monthly, however often you go to see your coach or whatever. And do you do aspects of life coaching and business coaching in what you offer? Do people always specify whether it's a, you know, a life coaching, or whether you're specifically around the business coaching, or do they overlap a lot with people with small businesses?
I think it definitely overlaps. And I think that is sometimes the danger that is kind of out there. And it's like, right, okay, I need to sort my business out, so I need to go to a business coach. I've got this issue in my life, so I need to go to a life coach. And actually, we need to think about it holistically. Like, what you're doing in your personal life and your personal beliefs will affect your business, and what you're doing in your business can affect your personal life. So it's about, a lot of people say, you know, do you just look at life coach? I like to look at people holistically. And if it's, you come to me in a session and it's something that you want to talk through on your business because you're feeling overwhelmed with it and stressed with it and it's affecting everything else, then we can work through that. If there's something that is really bugging you in your personal life that you need to get a handle of and you want to take action with, then we can work on that. But I find there's much more of a crossover. And if you can think of yourself as a whole person and recognize that what you're doing on a day-to-day basis does affect different areas of your life, then I think there'll be more progress for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. And how do you balance being supportive and encouraging with holding your clients accountable for their actions? Because you obviously want to move them in a forward direction. You're not there to be the school teacher and to berate them and tell them off if they haven't reached that goal. So how do you balance that supportive aspect when they perhaps haven't done something that they were supposed to be doing, perhaps?
Yeah. I think one thing that I would say that comes to mind is that the training that I've had has really helped me develop that coaching mentality. When you go into a coaching session, the session is never going to be about me as a coach. And I have to remind myself of that through the sessions. Like, it's, you know, you might come to me with a problem that I have dealt with before or I've gone through. And I'm very clear to, you know, this is their time. It's nothing to do with me. So the outcome I can have no bearing on the outcome. So it's just reminding myself that if they want to go down a particular route, I don't agree with it, then my opinion doesn't matter. If they want to go down that route, then I will support them going down that route. If they come back to the session and it's like, well, actually I've not, like, you know, I'll say, Leo, how have things been since our last session? What have you, what's gone well? What could you improve upon? And if they haven't done anything, that's okay. Like, I'm not, it's a balance between, I will give you a kick up the bum if you need a kick up the bum, but also it can be a gentle kick up the bum just to find that balance of, okay, so it didn't work out, that's fine. What do we need to do differently? What do we need to do? What different avenues do we need to explore? What do we need to look at in terms of resources or other people that can help you? And it's kind of working through all of that stuff in a coaching session, rather than it being, I can't believe you haven't done, like, I'm not here to be a school teacher, right? Like, I can't believe you haven't done this. This is disgraceful. You're wasting your money. Like, that's not the point at all.
But that's your professionalism as a life coach, being able to detach yourself from them reaching their outcome, because it makes no difference to you at the end of the day. You know, you're there to guide and support and encourage and give them some assistance on that journey. But at the end of the day, if they don't reach their goal, the only person that it will impact directly is themselves, I suppose. And in your opinion, what are the most common obstacles that people face when they're trying to make positive changes in their lives? Is there a whole raft of, you know, regular things that come up that you see on a regular basis that are common?
Yeah, I think a lot of people go too hard too quickly. So they come into a coaching session, they're feeling super excited, super riled up. They're going to go and, like, take over the world. I love that.
That's me. I'm guilty of that.
But you can't take over, like, you can do everything, but you don't have to do everything today. And I think it's that recognition that it's, you can have those dreams for sure, but it's about making sure that you're going to take that first step. So you're looking at the top of a staircase. You can't, unless you're like a long jump champion or a high jump champion, you can't jump from the bottom step right to the top. So it's about, right, okay, what is that first step? What is that second step? So I think that is one thing that people kind of go absolutely hell for leather for, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then crash and burn. So it's about, for me, like, making sure they've got the sustainable small changes that are going to happen, and to be realistic about those timelines as well, because we all want to do it and we all want to do it now. That's, like, the culture that we're in. Like, it's very instantaneous. Like, we get that kind of dopamine hit. We want it right now. But it's about making sure we've got those foundations in place to make sure you can take those steps. In terms of other things that people come to me, like, the biggest kind of blockers is definitely around prioritization of time. That's kind of a big one of, like, they want to do all the things, but they're not sure how to fit it in. So it's really about, like, it's simple things like time management, being able to set boundaries and saying no. Because while you're saying yes to all this stuff that comes across your desk, all these opportunities, what are you saying no to if you're saying yes to this? And definitely comes back to that self-belief and the kind of the beliefs that are kind of ingrained in you, and trying to reprogram is definitely something that comes up quite a lot. And I think people don't really realise that that's going to happen. So, for example, I run a group coaching program. It's called On Track, and it's a 90-day program of a group of people that are working towards specific goals that they set for themselves. And I've just about finished this cohort, and I was talking to one of the the people taking part. And she said, I joined for a reason, to get to a goal, but actually it's opened up so many other, it's made me aware of so many other things that have been holding me back, that actually, like, I signed up for one thing, but you've given me something completely different, but it's so much better than what I was just thinking about. Like, I want to take a few things off a list. And I think that awareness is just like, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it, because it's life changing. Like, it sounds really cheesy, but it is life changing. And I'm privileged to be part of people's journeys.
But I think self-development is exactly that. It's a total journey. We're always work in progress, and we never reach that finish line. And there's never any huge rush to reach that finish line. We don't want to gallop through life and suddenly get to that finish line at 99 and think, oh, that's great, I've managed to get here. If you haven't been enjoying that journey, there's no gold prize at the end of it. You need to be enjoying every step that you're taking. And I think for people, anyone that's listening that might be locked into a job or doing something that they really don't relish and it doesn't light them up, and, you know, 80-90% of the time, you know, every time they're getting up each morning, they feel heavy-hearted and they just know it's not lighting them up. There has to be something different in life. You know, we spend so many hours of our day and our week and our lives working, you know, in inverted commas, I'm saying that. But unless we're doing something that really lights us up, you know, we're sleepwalking through life is my view of it. And I know we can't be loving every second of life. That's unrealistic as well. But we should be doing something that lights us up, because when we're doing that, it makes our lights shine more brightly. And the whole world benefits from people being aligned with their values and their purpose. And how much more joy will you have in your life to be able to share with others and to make you, you know, a nicer person all round? Because, you know, we know what we're like when we're not in our best place. We're not great company, are we? So that's really important. And how do you work with clients who are resistant to change, or they seem to be stuck in negative patterns? What's your strategy there, Lindsay?
Yeah, so it's just, from my perspective as a coach, it's just being aware of what those patterns are, and if it's happening on a regular basis, and that there's kind of no progress and there is a resistance to change, then it is really about me passing the client on to somebody else that can help them more than I can. So it's recognizing that I'm not a therapist or a psychologist. So there's potentially things that they would need to talk to a therapist about uncovering some of those limiting beliefs and those blocks. And they need to do that with somebody who's qualified. So it's about recognizing that if the resistance is there and they don't want to change, I would kind of ask the question, like, what's the reason that, you know, what was the initial reason where we started working together? Is that something important for you? Or do you feel like you would benefit more speaking to somebody who can go and talk to you about your past? Because that isn't what we focus on as a coach. It's all about future and future focus. But if it's just being able to balance that conversation between, do you, as a client, do you feel like you're not getting the support from me? Do you need more from me? How else can I help you? But it's also realizing and recognizing that they might have come to coaching, but actually coaching isn't the best platform and the best resource for them to use. But we would usually have that conversation, like, that would be like as part of an early on conversation in like kind of an initial setup call. We kind of explain the difference between all of the different therapies and kind of get an understanding about what it is that they really want from coaching.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so if somebody's thinking about wanting to work with a life coach, what are the different ways that people can sort of dive in? Are there different sort of levels that you can just dip your toe in the water to start? And how do you choose a life coach that you think will be suitable for you? Because there are lots now around, especially online. If you type in life coach in your area, you'll probably get a big long list come up. So how do you start? Where do you begin when you're looking for, you know, starting with somebody?
I think it is about finding somebody that is on your wavelength. So I think doing some research online. I know a lot of people, there are a lot of life coaches on Instagram, and there are a lot of people that call themselves coaches that aren't actually coaches, which is a bugbear that we will talk about another time. But it is really about, so for me, it was important to get accredited because I wanted to be able to have the knowledge and the expertise to be able to guide my clients in the right way. So I would always look for that expertise. And I think it's also important for as a client, if you're looking for somebody, you know, you're thinking, actually, I could do with working with a coach, it's thinking about whether you want a coach or a mentor, because they are two very different things. A coach slash mentor, and a lot of mentors call themselves coaches, which is why it's completely mind-boggling. And it's not regulated in the UK, which makes it even more difficult as a coach. A lot of coaches, mentors call themselves coaches, and mentors will give you advice on what they've done in the past, how they've done things. So if it's like a business mentor that you need guidance and advice when you go through a certain period, then definitely go work with a mentor who can tell you what to do or what they've done. A coach would or should never tell you what to do. It's about asking the right questions to help you get there. So for me, I've been looking at accreditations on the website, looking at testimonials, asking to have an initial chat. Most coaches will give like a 15, 20, 30 minute consultation chat just to get a vibe for how people connect with each other, and you have a chance to ask some questions there. And I think just be aware that it's sad, but there are a lot of people out there that are willing to say they're coaches just to get some money. And it's not something that I agree with at all. So I definitely would do your research and ask to have a call with them to start with before you kind of commit to kind of putting any money down. But there are different ways that you can kind of dip your toe in the water. If you want to have a look at, like, a lot of coaches will have freebies on their website if you kind of start thinking in a different way and using that personal development. There are a lot of group programs are around, and so I have a group program which is less hands-on from me but gives you the kind of my coffee hasn't sunk in yet.
Is it like an accountability, having other people in the group so that you build that relationship in the community that also sort of moves you forward or gives you other ideas to challenge yourself, that you see other people's journeys and growth? Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Carrie. Yes, it does. Yes, it gives a structure of like what it would be like to work with a life coach one-on-one, but then I'm there to help, but then you've got the community behind you supporting you and working along. So I think there's definitely different levels that people can dip their toe into and not feel like I've got to commit to 6 months of coaching one-to-one with a person when I don't really know what it is that I want to do. So, but I think people listening, like, just be open to it, and you will see, like, I can't tell you the amount of transformations that my clients have had, that it's made, impacted their lives, and how, like, coaching has impacted my life being a coach. So I think it's for everybody. And I think if I'd have had coaching 5 years before I had my breakdown, I think things might have been very different. Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have had depression or that, like, that's a chemical imbalance, let's not go there. But had I had somebody to work with who had my best interests at heart to help me define what success looked like for me, what my boundaries looked like, how I was looking after myself, had I had that support, I think we would be in a very different place. But then I don't think I would then be here talking to you on a podcast.
That's so interesting. And I'm a huge advocate of, self-development and looking inwardly for the answers, because I think we all know deep down what it is, but sometimes we just need either permission or just encouragement to really speak up and speak our truth. And I think working with a life coach is a great way to do that. So thank you. Lindsay, thanks for sharing all of that with us today, particularly your story. I know it was putting you in a vulnerable spot to share that, but it's really inspiring to hear, because I think that there are a lot of people that are locked in these patterns and they just dismiss it and move and think that they can just work through it. But there is another way. And I think that it was really helpful for you to share that with us. So thank you. And if our listeners would like to find out more about you and to connect, where is the best place for them to go to find you?
So the best place would be on my website, which is www.golddiggercoaching.co.uk, and also on Instagram at golddiggercoaching.
And that's gold, G-O-A-L, not G-O-L-D. Yes, no, I love that. Yeah, Gold Digger Coaching. Yeah, I'm going to put a link in the show notes, so you can definitely find Lindsay there. So thank you again. I hope everyone has a wonderful week ahead. Earn lots of lovely money and with the least amount of stress. And until next time, let's catch up soon.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment.
and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.